Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. It is great to be with you on a Thursday. All right, let me set it up for you. Rainy Thursday here in SoCal. We're broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. All right, your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Use it. Dial me right now. This week is going fast. NFC Championship game, AFC Championship game. Who do you have? Pick a winner. Let me know. I'm going to break those things down a little bit later on. Find me on the phones. Do it. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. You can hit my Instagram page. Mark up my Facebook page. You know, it's important. All the different ways to get involved with the jungle. All the different ways for you to get off. Push your content. Make your brand. I'm here for you. You can also email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews look like this. Coming up next segment, Hall of Fame boxing trainer Freddie Roach. He is back with Manny Pacquiao. So Freddie Roach joins me next segment. Iowa State head basketball coach Steve Prohm in hour number two. Third hour, we talk NBA with a senior writer for SB Nation, Paul Flannery. Episode 66 of the Jim Rome podcast with Pat Perez, still up, still killing it. If you have not heard that yet, you want to find a way to get to it. All right, championship weekend. Let's start right here. The time, 6:40 p.m. Eastern on CBS. The location, Arrowhead Stadium. The weather, horrible. Maybe not as horrible, but horrible. You know, like polar vortex, horrible. The line, Kansas City minus three. Why don't we start right there? Kansas City minus three. So, the Patriots are underdogs. And apparently for them, specifically Julian Edelman, it is a reason to go. Because he has been tweeting out a hashtag bet against us hype video. Now let me take one moment to say, Julian Edelman is a really nice football player. Edelman is a Super Bowl champion. He repeatedly crushed the Chargers on Sunday with his YAC. I like this guy. I've always liked this guy. I like him as a guy, you know, notwithstanding that PED bust. But I like him as a guy. I like his grit. I like his heart. I like what he's made out of himself. I like the fact that he competes. Man, this guy is a competitor. And the thing we know about competitors is they're going to get their edge. And a guy like that's going to have a major edge. You're going to get your edge and you're going to get your motivation and you've got to get it from somewhere. We know this. But apparently he's getting it from the fact that the Patriots are underdogs this week. And to me, that's just lame. I mean, actually, it's really lame. You know what's more lame than putting out a bet against us hype video? Selling bet against us t-shirts. And he's doing that too. You can buy a $30 t-shirt with a worthless phrase printed on it. And don't get it twisted. I respect his game a hell of a lot. And everybody's got a right to make a buck any way they choose. But against me, that's lame. I mean, seriously. This is not only very unpatriot-like, you know, the unpatriot way. It is lame. I mean, what I'm getting at is this. So people picked against you guys last week, and you proved them wrong. Congrats. That's sports. People make their picks. The picks are either right or they're wrong. You've cracked the code. But the reason people picked against you is because you had not been playing well. The Pats. It's not a shock. It's not a mystery. The Pats' defense has not shown much pass rush this year. Your Hall of Fame tight end, banged up. Fact is, you had not looked like yourselves. I mean, were you super impressed with those December losses to Miami and Pittsburgh? Or that early season loss to the league's biggest disappointment, the Jacksonville Jaguars? So you come out and you win on Sunday. You come out and you turn the Chargers inside out. You embarrassed them, you humiliated them, and anybody else who picked against you. Myself included. Congrats, you got over. You shut everybody up. It should have been enough. But apparently it's not. It wasn't. Because now they're all butthurt. And for what? Because they're underdogs going on the road to face the team with the best record in the AFC. What? What? Should Vegas make you the favorites just because you're the Patriots? Would that make you happy? Should Vegas say, yeah, the Chiefs do have the best record. The Chiefs are playing at home, and the Patriots have lost three of their last four on the road. But screw it. They're the Pats, right? Let's make them the favorite because they're the Pats, and that'll make Edelman and Tom Brady happy. Look, it's not personal to Vegas. It's business. They don't love you. They don't hate you. They love money. Also, it's not like they came out and they made you 14-point underdogs. You're 3-point underdogs. The standard rule of thumb has been the home field is worth about 3 points. So Vegas essentially is saying the two teams are even, that it's a coin flip. But you're going to get bent about that. Not only bent, but profit from it. Sell merch off it. I mean, come on. And for the record, and your edification, Tommy, nobody anywhere was saying you suck. Nobody anywhere was saying the Patriots suck. And then after that beatdown you laid on LA, believe me, nobody anywhere was disrespecting you. Again, you can make money any way you want. And if selling $30 t-shirts to Pats fans that are about how nobody respects them, if you want to do that, go ahead. I mean, that's shooting fish in a barrel, right? Pats fans will eat that up all day long. Pats fans have spent the last half decade and a half watching their team win Super Bowls and complaining that they don't get enough credit for winning Super Bowls. And if you're one of those Pats fans who wonders why that is, it's because of stuff like this. The issue isn't the winning. It's the whining. The team is great. The team is amazing. Seriously, one of the best ever. Greatest coach and quarterback combo in history. One of the greatest runs in the history of sports, any sport. But the only thing more amazing than what you've done on the field is how some of your fans whine off of it. Again, don't get it twisted. Pats fans, people do not dislike you sometimes because you win. They dislike you because you whine and complain about not getting enough respect when you win or lose. I mean, you're underdogs for like the first time, what, ever? Ever? And you're acting like everybody said you suck. And I know Brady said that after the Chargers game, but again, nobody said they suck. People only had questions about the team, and again, for good reason. The team has been to 8 straight AFC title games. How are you not above lame-ass stuff like this? But if your argument is you need it for motivation, great. My argument would be it's the AFC title game. You're 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. Do you really need any more motivation than that? And if you need motivation and you need more of it from selling t-shirts, you know that says more about you than it does Vegas. And believe me, Edelman, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He plays for a 5-time Super Bowl champ. I would not think that he would need that to get up for something like this. But at the end of the day, you know what's lamer than selling a Bet Against Us t-shirt? Buying a Bet Against Us t-shirt. I don't know where it's coming from. This whole everybody thinks we suck. Everybody disrespects us. We're dogs. Right. You're a 3-point dog like the Rams are. They're not complaining. Brady was asked about that. Like, what do you make of that, Tom? You guys are actually not favored.
You guys are 3-point underdogs going into this game. It's the first time the Patriots have been an underdog with you at quarterback in 3 or 4 years now. Just how does that feel, being the underdog going into this one?
Doesn't change much for us, but it just, you know, shows you kind of what, you know, people would think about, you know, what our chances are. That's about it.
Doesn't.
No more added comment to that.
Man, I like this guy so much better before he started talking. Remember when, prior to Facebook Live, that Facebook show, prior to we knew the way he thought, remember when he never said anything? He was like the coolest dude ever. Every guy wanted to be him. He was like the best. And now he just kind of goofs it up with, yeah, it's neither here nor there. It's not a big deal. Yeah, it's not a big deal. Sure, it's not a big deal. I just don't know why it's a big deal. Again, you lost 3 out of 4 on the road. You were not playing all that well. You did not look like yourself. You're going up against the number one seed in their house. Why is not being favored a reason to go? Man, they're looking for a way to jack themselves up. Looking for motivation. It just, to me, is whack. I don't know why a dynasty like that needs something like that to be motivated when you're 60 minutes away from another ring. And they're not wrong to be dogs. Why is that so offensive? Why is that a reason to go? For the reasons I just laid out. 1-800-636-8686. And Pats fans, I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. Hey, Rome, you hate us because you ain't us. You hate us because we win. That's not it. That's not it. It's because of stuff like this. Jim, really cool slogan on that new Patriots t-shirt that's going for $30. Bet against us. It is an absolutely incredible tagline for a shirt. Signed, Sunday Fun Day. Phil in St. Paul. Hey, Rome. Crazy weather in SoCal. No doubt these storms will result in some massive swells for Silk Bra. Silk would absolutely love it up here. One fat tidal wave in perpetuity. Regards, Dasmati's Dome. Oh, great. So now my crew's got a big head. Personal appearances still not show fodder. War Rome smoking a blunt on his next podcast with Joe Rogan. Signed Elon Musk. Matt in Tucson. Maybe. Maybe. The reason he said that was I put up an Instagram post yesterday of Cody the Ragdoll Cat. And I shouted out to Joe Rogan because Joe Rogan also has a ragdoll cat. I'll be straight. Because I always am. I don't remember the last time I baked. I don't remember the last time I burned a blunt. And I mean that sincerely. I would tell you otherwise. I do not remember the last time.
Burning.
I remember the last time I had a cocktail. About 5 days ago. No, the last cocktail? Post O'Reilly Auto Parts store manager convention store or show. But I do not remember the last time I baked. You have your telephone number. Other topics today. In addition to that, and then you got the game itself. Who's going to win and why? You've got the Rams and Saints. That game, to me, is too close to call, but I've got thoughts. Jalen Hurts on his way to OU. That is a no-brainer. Have you noticed there's a lot of critical changes at the quarterback position in college football, which I want to get into. A-Rod goes a bag again. He can't help himself. Do you remember an NFLer named Tony Beckham? There's one pervert who's trying to forget him, except he rearranged his face. That guy got exactly what he had coming to him. James Harden gets off again. Yes, it was in a loss, but he got off again. All right, all of that coming up. When we come back, Hall of Fame boxing trainer Freddie Roach is my guest. When you're on the field, it's all about the right timing, knowing when to plan the play, knowing when to make the play. It's what all the great coaches who know how to get exactly what they want are doing on the sidelines. They make a plan, and they execute it when the time is right. O'Reilly Auto Parts has a similar philosophy. When you need a part, but you're not in a position to go pick it up, you can just order the parts that you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. Then you pick them up at any of their 5,000 stores nationwide when you're ready to go. No shipping costs, returns are always easy, and you can pick them up when it's convenient for you. It's easy, and you know that what you want is going to be there, and it saves you time in the store. The shopping game begins when you say it begins. It ends when you get what you want at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's like you've won before you even head out the door. Make the smart play. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. Better parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Nice to be with you. I am Jim Rome. All right, if you're on hold, hang in. If not, I do have a phone line open. Again, it's good in the U.S., it's good in Canada. Do it, use it. As promised, we're joined by a seven-time trainer of the year, a member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame. He first trained Manny Pacquiao back in 2001. Pacquiao v. Broner for the welterweight title, Saturday night, live from Las Vegas on Showtime pay-per-view. My guest is Freddie Roach. Freddie, my man. Nice to have you back.
How are you?
Good, Freddie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right, Freddie. Thursday of fight week. Let me start right there. How was your camp with Manny Pacquiao? How has it gone? How does he look to you right now?
Pacquiao is doing really well. He's in great shape, and he's really ready for this fight, and I'm having a little trouble holding him back. He wanted to run this morning, but I told him this fight's too close. Let's just rest a little bit, and he's doing really well.
Freddie Roach is my guest. Freddie, let's go back for a minute. The fact that you're training Pacquiao is something of a surprise, and then at the same time, it's not a surprise. You were with him back in July of 2017 when he lost that decision to Jeff Horn in Australia. What do you remember about that fight, Freddie, especially in the later rounds, and then your conversation with Manny afterwards?
Hello?
Freddie. Hey, Freddie, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that last fight, it was we had a little mix-up, and I did miss a fight there in between. But, you know, I was just trying to give Manny advice. It was just being a senator and being a world champion boxer is really difficult a lot of time. But he had time off of this fight. He had time to get ready, and we had a really good training camp and no distractions whatsoever, and he's in great shape. And he's 100% ready to go.
We're talking to you, Freddie Roach. You know, Freddie, I was trying to get at the point also that the two of you had spent some time apart. And then in the lead up to this fight, back in November, Manny told the media that you would, in fact, be training him. What did you think when you heard that? And had you talked to him about coming back and working with him at that point?
Well, you know, he's always a machine. He's 40 years old, but his work ethic is unbelievable, and he's still fighting like he's a 20-year-old, and he's in great shape, and 40 is just a number, but his work ethic is really, really on top of things.
Manny Pacquiao is going to fight this weekend. Freddie, so he is 40. Does he look or fight like he's 40?
No, he doesn't fight like he's 40 at all. He fights like he's 20. His punching power is better now than ever. He's really hitting hard. And I work with him every day, and I feel the punches, and his power is unbelievable. And he's looking really, really good. And I can't wait for this fight and get Broner out of the way.
All right, so when you look at Adrian Broner right now as a fighter, what kind of a fighter do you see? What's he look like to you?
Broner is more of a counterpuncher, and he doesn't like to take the lead too much. He'll wait on us, and we'll definitely be the aggressor in this fight, and we'll have to take the fight to him.
Do you feel like Broner throws the volume of punches that he needs to throw to win a fight like that? And what kind of shape is he in right now?
Yeah, that's the problem. Broner doesn't throw his volume isn't deep enough. He doesn't throw enough volume punches. He's just one-two counter punch, and Manny's gonna really outdo him with the number of punches landed. And Manny's combinations, he's not gonna be able to handle that.
You know, Freddie, you look at Manny. Manny's done everything there is to do in boxing. He's got a lot of different things he could be doing outside of boxing, politics, and more. How do you explain his drive and the motivation that he has right now to continue to fight and train and prepare?
Yeah, he's a machine, and 40, it seems late in the game, but Manny, he's working like he's a 20-year-old, and his work ethic is unbelievable. And the first time it starts slowing down, I will tell him, and then that'll be time when he gets out.
Freddie, did you have that conversation with him after the Horn fight? Did you ever sit down and say, it is time to get out, you are slowing down?
Yeah, we sat down and had that conversation after the Horn fight, and that's why I missed one fight. He was just a little upset because I told him, the thing is, to be a senator and a world champion at the same time is very difficult, especially when he's in session and when sometimes he gets out at 3 p.m, sometimes at 10 p.m. at night, and that's what time we have to train, and the training schedule is really sporadic. But for this fight, they gave us time off and gave us time to get ready for the fight. And training camp was the same as always, just every day on time and ready to go.
Freddie Roach is my guest. Freddie, one thing you mentioned, the fight that you missed, that was the championship fight where he fought for the welterweight title. Did you watch that fight? And if so, what was it like for you to watch that fight after spending all those years with him?
I watched that fight on TV, and it was he fought a very good fight, and Manny, again, that was his first knockout in 6 years, and I think he has that feeling back and knows how good that feels when you knock an opponent out. And I think that'll happen in this one also.
Okay, I was going to say, so how do you see this one going, and how do you see this one ending?
Well, you know, at 40, he still throws the heat. So, Broner is a slow starter, and we're going to jump on him right away. And I hopefully mean to get him out there early. It'll be exciting, but the thing is, I just don't think Broner can keep up with the volume of punches.
It is Saturday night. It's live from Las Vegas. It's Showtime pay-per-view. Pacquiao v. Broner for the welterweight title. Freddie Roach is a member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame and a 7-time Trainer of the Year. Freddie, it's good to get caught up. Good luck this weekend, Freddie.
Thank you very much. Nice talk to you, Jim.
You too. Freddie, always good talking to you. Freddie Roach. I remember talking to Freddie Roach, I think, for the first time in early 90s. So Freddie had worked with Manny Pacquiao for a long time. And then after that Jeff Horn fight in Australia, they had kind of a parting of the ways and they were separate. Manny goes on, he wins the championship, and now they're back together. And he says that he is hitting hard, punching with a lot of power, even at 40, that he does not look like a 40-year-old or fight like a 40-year-old. That fight's coming up this weekend, again, live from Vegas, Showtime pay-per-view. This email reads, yo, pimp. Hey, Alvin, he's Batman. Chael's in the house.
I'm Batman.
You never know which member of the XR4TI is going to walk in here. Like one day, if Ross walks in, if you get that big head through the door, you'll hear that. When Hawk walks in the studio, you normally get the Hawk squawk. When Chael walks through, because somebody talked about him being Batman with pepperoni nipples, he gets the Batman treatment.
I'm Batman.
Not all of you have CBS Sports Network. You all should, but not all of you do. So if you're listening and not watching, I'd like for you to know what's going on. An email before I go to break reads, Julian Edelman's t-shirts are a bargain and such a cool idea. Sincerely, Mike in Indy's walk-up tee and Jeff in San Antonio's Baby Jordan line. Adam and Indy wore every single second of the fat announcement. I think it's actually not a fat announcement. It's a fat celebration announcement. It's an obesity achievement announcement is what it is. Let's keep it positive here, all right? Everything positive. Dear Jim, of course you do not remember the last time you baked. Signed, short-term memory loss side effects. Pat in Scranton. That's not it. I don't remember because it's been so long. It's not that I don't remember because of short-term memory loss. I don't remember because it's been so long. I don't remember. Rome, you don't remember the last time you baked. You must not have a hubby that loves pie. Because I'm constantly baking. Yours, Mrs. Mangino. Aaron in Omaha. Wore LeBron accepting Kyrie's apology on the contingency that Kyrie must cut LeBron's next fillet. Nothing good about that email. Literally everything about that email is whack. Jim, loving your recent golf interviews. Just please don't get Tiger on the horn. Not again. Yours, Siegfried. Brett, what's lower than blocked? Please don't get Tiger on the horn. Siegfried. Siegfried and Roy, the Tiger attack. Hey, Brett, you know what's lower than blocked? Deactivated. There's got to be a way for me to ban, to have like Twitter come down. Come down, incur the wrath of Twitter, and get you taken off my email. I haven't figured out the technology yet, but I will, Brett. Believe me, in your case, I'll make an exception. I'll find out what I have to do. You're that bad. Your contributions are that bad. Your content is that horrible, Brett. And more. All right, still ahead. I want to talk about the Saints and the Rams. I want to talk about Jalen Hurts going to Oklahoma. That's a no-brainer for both sides. And we're going to get to the weekend. Who do you like this weekend and why? Call your shot right now. James Harden had himself another night. This guy goes for 50. We don't even mention it. But he did it again, so I will. Steve Prohm coming up top of hour number two.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
One more win is all it takes to get that ticket to the ATL and Super Bowl 53 on CBS. Arguably the GOAT, Tom Brady, takes the Pats into KC. And he's going up against a future legend, Pat Mahomes. The AFC Championship game presented by Intuit TurboTax Live. Kicks off the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on CBS. Note the late start time, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. All right, a couple of things. Number one, I go to Twitter. Hey, if I were you about Twitter, if you're on Twitter, I would not click on the, do you want to see the new Twitter? Trust me, you don't want to. You know, I hate to get all controversial with you, Twitter. It sucks. Go ahead, leave it alone. It's not broken. It ain't broke. Stop trying to fix what ain't broke. Don't click on that. Because I clicked on that, now I can't go back. Number two, though, however, there is something really cool on Twitter. I saw John Wick trending. So either that means Wick is dead or the trailer is out for the third rendition. And that's the case. Sequel was not as good as the original at all. Hopefully they bounce back with a third.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
This guy's on it. Johnny D. Bam, Rome, with the John Wick 3 trailer dropping, it is time that the jungle recognizes Wick among the likes of Bourne and McClane. That's an interesting point. Is Wick in the same class as Bourne and McClane? You know, how about this? I'd even put this in there. Is Jack Reacher in that same class? Or is it Bourne? Look, Bourne and McClane are in the same class, right? That's the same group. Is Wick in that class? Is Reacher in that class? Or is it Bourne, McClane, Wick, and then Reacher? Tough call. Where's Ethan Hunt in that category? I'm big on the Mission Impossible franchise. I'm big on Hunt. I'm big on Hunt. That's tough, man. That's tough. That is really tough. Shut up, Hawk. You're not a part of this conversation, Hawk. You got nothing to bring to it. I'm going to spare you that embarrassment, Hawk. Is Wick in the same class as Bourne and McClane? I will tell you after I watch the trailer and then the third movie. After two movies, I'm going to say he's just a cut below, but he's in the conversation. Not in the same class, but in the conversation. I was not really impressed with the second one. I love the first one. I thought the first one was unbelievable. Second one was not as good. You know, when a guy's walking around, I'm even all right with him killing anything that moves and everything in front of him. But if you're going to shoot everybody dead, at least let the other guys have guns. I felt like he was walking around with a machine gun and taking out a bunch of guys who were not at all armed. It was that much of a mismatch. But I'm open to it. I love the guy. I love Wick. So that's a good thing. Something else that jumped today. This happened late in the show yesterday, so I can reset it right now. This email says, Jim, has anyone checked on the Canadians since that absolute hospital job by Al in Ontario yesterday? Are Trench and Shred going to be okay? Jake in Seattle. That was a rarity. Actual Canadian on Canadian crime. There was a guy named Al in Ontario. And he said he had heard the show for a few weeks. He really liked what he heard. He thought that I did a better interview than anybody he had ever heard. But he was disappointed, if not embarrassed, in some of the Canadian production, some of the Canadian involvement. And he mentioned two guys by name, Trench and Shred, and said that they're bringing the show down, and he's embarrassed by both these guys, Trench and Shred.
This one guy, Trench or something, or Shred in Edmonton. I mean, this is not Canadian. The other guy in Vancouver. These guys are just, you know, they're rude, and they are just attack, attack, attack. I don't get it.
This, yes, the problem, Al. You don't get it. You don't get it, but it's not your fault because the show takes a little while to figure out. And at least you were able to listen to it for a couple of weeks and decide that you already liked it. You already liked it. Right, let me interrupt that thought because the con man is in, David Feldman. David Feldman is my attorney. David Feldman is literally, and I say this not because he's my attorney. I say it not because he was the best man at my wedding. I say it not because he's the only attorney I've ever had in my entire career. Literally, he is one of the best entertainment attorneys in this city, which therefore means in the entire country. He's worked for the same prominent law firm since he got out of Bolt. He put himself through college, through law school. Feldman put himself through law school, and he went to Bolt. So he wanted to weigh in on this. He says, Wick is with Reacher. Bourne is a clear number three. McClane is a two. And number one will always be Bond. Feldman, you know I love you, brother. Like a brother. But that's because you're like 90. Come on, Feldy. Bond is number one. I'm going to put Bond in my top three, but I'm not putting him on top. Feldy and I are pretty close to the same age. He's got a couple years on me. The problem with Feldman is he's represented like half these guys. And that's his take. Wick is with Reacher. Bourne is a clear three. McClane is two. And Bond is always number one. I'm a martini guy, and I can't say that Bond's number one. The other problem with Bond is there's been multiple Bonds. That's part of it, right? Or are we just going with the character? You tell me. I don't want to get too far off the beaten path. Bond in his prime, as long as we do hypotheticals, right? We do this in sports all the time. Bond in his prime against McClane. Bond in his prime against Bourne. Bond in his prime against Wick. Bond against Reacher. Bond against Ethan Hunt. Does Bond take out all those guys? I don't know. I don't know, Feldman. I think you're just a ladies' man. I think that's why you like Bond. Anybody else want to jump in there? Feldman would know. He walks amongst all these people. This is where he lives. He has a Rodeo Drive address where he goes to work and has every day for about 30 years. All right. Feldy's in. Let's go back to the Canadian on Canadian crime. Alan Ontario said, I just don't get these guys. I don't get these guys. And I'm going to say, Al, that's the problem. You don't get these guys. First of all, Al, I appreciate you. I'm really glad you made that phone call. Great to have you on, and I'm glad you understand the program. But these guys actually, believe it or not, Al, they don't represent what's wrong with the show. Trench and Shred represent the better things about this show. They're 2.0. They're the new breed. Man, they are young. They do have bad attitudes. They do want to fight. And mostly they want to fight Americans. They don't want to fight other Canadians. You're picking a fight with one of your own. I want to hear from those guys. I want to hear from Trench. Hey, Trench, is your phone broke?
Trench? Or-
Come on, Trench.
Trench?
It's toll-free. Trench, you know where to find me.
Trench?
You too, Shred. In the meantime, these two guys Shred. Are getting after it on Twitter. They are responding on Twitter. Matt in Vancouver tweets, holy bleep. Al in Ontario is my guy. All right, so he's not even mad. He respects the old guy. Trench tweets, Trench. I am now Trent in Shredmonton. Bring it, Al.
Trench?
Al. Bro. Can I call you bro, Al? Al, I got your back. I'm really happy you're here. And I also have their back. But let me say this, because I have your back, Al, you don't want any of that. You don't want these guys. They're on your side, Al. You do not want to pick a fight with those two. And you don't need to. They're on your side. But you'll figure that out. Keep listening, Al. The show is a different show. You'll see. You're one and the same. Or close enough. In the meantime, Trench, you just got called out, Trench. Since when do you not respond to people calling you out, Trench?
Trench?
How about you, Shred? Wait, Trench and Shred are the same guy, aren't they?
Shred.
I think what he's trying to say, Tyler, he turned Tyler in Shredminton into Trench and Shred.
Trench?
Al, they're the same guy.
Shred.
I don't know if you're confused by that guy or you're trying to take a run at both those guys, but you just smashed up the same guy. Trent.
Trench.
Trench. Tyler and Shredminton is Trench and Shred.
Shred.
KS Wood 43 tweets, Jack Bauer kicks all those guys' asses, period. End of story. Hashtag 24. Not here he doesn't. He's not even in the conversation. Keep Bauer out your mouth. Mike D for three. He tweets, Wick, Reacher, Hunt, Bourne, who cares? They're all below Rambo anyway. Now, see, Feldman does know Rambo. Feldman, I think, may have represented Rambo at one point and may still. And notice Feldman did not mention Rambo. Feldman, I know, has a business tied to Rambo and did not mention Rambo. You know what they are? They're kind of like MMAers. They all bring a different discipline to the argument, right? Like Rambo. To make the metaphor or the analogy, Rambo's got that great stand-up game. Take out a machine gun, shoot you in the head. He's got the stand-up game. But when that thing goes to the mat, I don't think Rambo's going to last long. All right. Anyway, we do digress, right? Iowa State head basketball coach Steve Prohm's coming up at the top of hour number two. Paul Flannery in hour number three. What do you make of the Pats? And the Pats running out there, this disrespect card. Everybody thinks we suck card. How are we not favored? You're not favored because you're going on the road to play the best team in the AFC. You're not favored because you lost three or four on the road. You're not favored because in Tom Brady's career, he has a losing record on the road in the playoffs. Hey, Romy, it depends on which Bond. Pierce Brosnan Bond is definitely not number one. The guy threw grenades like Nathan Peterman throws football. Evan in Oregon. Isn't that a whole side conversation? If we're talking about Bond, don't we have to decide which Bond? But we're really not. If Feldman, you want to talk about a Molotov cocktail. Feldman lobbed a Molotov cocktail in the proceedings when he mentioned Bond. I want to get into James Harden. Again, some of you are still not buying into this guy, calling him a cheater. He doesn't cheat. He is a cheat code, but not a cheater. Rome, shirts with inspiring words on it aren't lame or played out. Signed, wearing dog masks for motivation. Like I said, competitors will look for any edge, any way they can get it. It's not just the Pats, and aren't I a problem with guys looking for an edge? I've got a problem with them throwing that card and trying to get an edge from that. The edge that everybody says we suck when nobody is saying that they suck. Johnny Scabs is in on Twitter. Jimmy, these t-shirts are going to work out real well. Signed, Michigan's Revenge Tour. Jim, I'm a 65-year-old male, retired, longtime listener, reaching out for the first time. Your show has entertained me for over 20 years, but I have to say that Podcast 66 with Pat Perez has gotten me off my ass to send you a take. The chemistry between the two of you in that interview was a trip. That's the kind of bleep that makes life special. Well done, pimp. What I wouldn't give right now to have a corner table at the 19th at Torrey with you, Pat, and Elk. Special stuff, Jimmy. War of the Jungle. Bob and Carpenteria.